Thank you, Risa. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to continue talking about loving your neighbor, looking at the Good Samaritan. You know, to tie in with what Risa was sharing, all those don'ts, there is a tendency within us. Do you guys like to be told not to do something? How many here like to be criticized? I don't see any hands. We get very defensive. You can really get somebody upset if you criticize them. And so we tend to look at those laws as part of our nature to say, God, what are you trying to say? And the idea that I would encourage you to look at it, the way that I would encourage you to approach those don'ts is to think about it that God really has a lot to say to you. God has a lot that he wants to work in your heart and your mind. That what he's really telling us is he's saying, hey, I think differently than you do, and I want you to think like I do. We know that he's not interested in casting us out of his presence because Christ came to bring us close to him. And so those commandments are to sum up to us how amazing he is and how we really can grow in understanding who God is. And I think that's getting to the heart of this story, the Good Samaritan. It really is about getting to know who God is, us personally, and I believe that as we get to know that, and that becomes a deep, heartfelt reality within us, it is more natural for us to share it. The text is a familiar one. Probably you've heard this. I don't know how many sermons you probably heard on the Good Samaritan. For us sitting in this congregation, you probably heard quite a few, perhaps. I know that I have. But the question that this guy asked Jesus, this lawyer, and you know he's not a lawyer like our sense of a lawyer. He doesn't prosecute law or defend people in court. He doesn't do anything along those lines. He's actually a Jewish Old Testament scholar. That's what their lawyer meant. He studied the law, the Torah. So that's what they mean by a lawyer. He was very well versed in the Old Testament and particularly the law. And he comes to with this interesting question. He's testing Jesus, but Jesus is going to turn it around and really turn it back to him. It's a deep question of faith. He says, well, what do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And, you know, Jesus, as I was saying, takes a question and gives it back to him and puts it in his lap, and he says, how do you read it? What do you read in the law? And he says, well, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is kind of being like the rabbi there. He says, when he answers that question, he goes, awesome, good job, A+, you answered correctly. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. And you see, so the guy knows the law, and Jesus says, adds a little bit to that, says, okay, so go out and do that. Now, this guy knows the law, and where some people might think that Jesus is telling him to, okay, just go out and do what's right, live a good life, don't hurt anybody. That's how we might understand, and some people might even understand the story of the Good Samaritan. But this guy, remember I was saying, he studies Jewish law, he knows it very well, and he knows that people are sinful and they can't keep it. You see, this guy understands that deeply. So he realizes, okay, he's telling me to do the impossible here. And you can see he's getting it because of his questions that he gives back. He looks at the first commandment and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Okay, done that, pretty good. So checks that off in his mind. And then he gets to the second one and he says, well, you know, I've probably done the second one depending on how you define neighbor. So then he asks the Lord, he says, well, what's neighbor? How do you define neighbor? What would that mean? And I'm amazed when I look at the story that Jesus in real time just thought of this answer. I mean, this really blows me away. You know, I mean, this is deep stuff because this story really has some deep spiritual meaning. And he comes back to the lawyer and he begins to talk about love, and actually the love that he's sharing with him is the type of love that God shares with us. You see, that's what he's getting to. He's sharing with this lawyer a little bit of how God loves us and how God sees us and how God cares for us. And he's talking to him at the standpoint of love, saying that this love that God has, this love that is important for us to share, doesn't have any boundaries. It doesn't care about who the person is. It doesn't care how great they are. And in this story, it is purposely vague. Jesus does not give the person any identity. We don't know if he's Jewish. We don't know if he's Samaritan. We don't know who he is. We have absolutely no idea who this guy is. Jesus purposely leaves it like that because God's love is not bound by any of those things. His love doesn't depend on who the person is, how good they are, or how much they've done for God. You see, with this, he picks two people, one a priest and the other one a Levite. Now, both of these people were really important religious figures. If anybody knew God and would follow what God said, it would be these two guys. And the priest comes down the road, and as the priest is coming down the road, he sees the man there, and he passes on the other side. And, you know, the priest is someone who, if he touched a body, especially a dead body, and the guy looks half dead, if he touches a dead body, for example, he's unclean, and he can't do his priestly duty. And so that's kind of a easy one to choose, right? I don't have to think about it. It's not a problem. And, you know, he's able to excuse that very much because he's not in the temple. He's not doing God's work. And so that's really a no-brainer. But the issue is when we stop and think about whether we should help someone, when we stop and think about whether or not we should be nice to someone back even when they're not nice to us, because really the point of the story is, you know, our neighbor is usually in our minds, and I think in this man's mind as well, it is we should love people who will potentially love us back. We should be nice to people who are probably going to pay that back and who are probably going to be nice back to us. And that's generally how we think about it. That's probably how this man thought about it as well. And you know, he sees the person there, and when our minds start thinking about whether or not the person's worthy, whether or not we should really help, we're not walking in faith anymore. We're really not looking at it as God sees it. And the error and the tragedy of this man's religion, this priest's religion, was the fact that his religious works and his relationship with God that he had didn't help him see people as God does. And that's the error. You see, it's not about just doing good works. It's not about just coming to church. It's not about just doing the right thing. This person, the priest, for example, he was the pinnacle of knowledge. It's not just about having the knowledge in your head. You can have all the knowledge. You can have studied it. You can have all the right answers. What Jesus is saying is that if that doesn't connect from there to here, you miss the boat. You've missed the whole purpose of religion. That's what he's saying. And he's coming to us and he's saying, it is a matter of compassion. It is a matter of love. It is a matter of us seeing God as he really is, as he's been revealed in Jesus Christ. That love where we didn't deserve it, we were actually against him. We were sinning. And he comes to us and he dies for us and he carries our pain and our suffering. And see, that's what he's talking about. And the real tragedy, as I was saying, is that it really didn't help the man's religion really didn't help him to see things as God does. God is very giving. He's very kind. And he's the opposite of how we are. You see, the way God thinks, and I think this is part of the parable. It's to get us to rethink how we're looking at everything. Because for us, we figure if we give, it's going to cost us, right? I mean, I think like that. We all do. We calculate the cost. When we give, Jesus said something in the Gospels. He said, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Because when we overthink it, when we let our gears get turning, we think it wrong. He understands that. He's saying, don't overthink it. Just do it. Just share. It takes more faith to share, doesn't it? It takes more faith just to stand out there and say, I'm going to do this. But when we think what the right hand, the left hand is doing, we can't do that. We don't have the capacity. We start blowing it. And then we feel guilty, and then we end up on the sliding slope of, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm bad. And it doesn't work. It doesn't help us. Check out this verse. This is an amazing verse. This is what Jesus shared. It shows you how God thinks. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for the measure that you use will be the same measure that's used for you. So, I mean, God's speaking to us. He's trying to say, hey, look at things differently. He's actually talking to that lawyer. He's talking to that lawyer Jesus is putting himself at the focus of this. But there are things that we want to trust in, we want to hold on to, and we want to say, you know, no, I'm doing good for this reason. The Levite comes in for this reason. See, the Levite was just as good as the priest. Levite had all the good righteousness and did all the right things just as the priest did, but he has a different twist to it. His twist is that he is good by heredity. You see, he was of the tribe of Levi. That's the chosen ones. So he's got like a foot in the door of holiness already because he is just right on. You know, I mean, even if I blow it, I'm still a Levite. You know, so I'm really good. And I felt convicted about this. I don't know if you do, but I had to feel convicted about this because when I think of my, and I'm going to be blasphemous here, my Lutheran lineage, I mean, I have a grandfather who was president of the Swami Synod. This is when the flag should start going up behind me, right? You know, I mean, seriously, you think about these things. Don't we do that? We think about it. We think, you know, I've been a member of, you know, and we have these ideas. We have these milestones in our mind that we hold on to, and they're flagships. They're anchors for our faith. And Jesus is challenging that. Jesus is coming to us with love and compassion. He say, what that's going to matter in eternity? Not much. What's going to matter is knowing God, loving God, and furthermore, knowing how God loves you. That's what makes a difference. That's what makes a difference in eternity. That's what makes a difference now. That's what makes a difference in the person of the Good Samaritan. He came and he did some things, and I want to highlight those. You know, let's look at the outline because there's some blanks that I had left in there, and I want to fill them in because it's important for us to understand this love of God. There's some things that the Samaritan did, and Jesus told this story to really highlight it about how God is and about what he kindles inside of us. Now, the Samaritan, the love that he had, love feels something. Now, I know we don't always talk about feelings. We need to. You cannot love without feeling. In this text, it says that he had pity on him. Some translations say he has compassion on him. What the Greek word is, it says splachnoi. Now, I don't know if anybody knows what splachnoi means. Splachnoi means intestines. That sounds pretty gross. But what they're saying is he was moved to the core of his being. It's how they say compassion. We have this expression in English. We say a gut feeling. Do you ever have a gut feeling about something? You say, I had a gut feeling about it. I just had to do it. I could not deny myself. I had a gut feeling about it, and that's why I did that. That's what he's talking about. Now, that's how Jesus looks at you. See, that's the point of this story. That's the first and foremost point of this story. He's not telling this leader to go out and do good works and help people. He's pointing it back to himself. God looks at you as one that is on the road. When you are feeling guilty, when you are feeling that you don't measure up, when you are criticized, when you need the encouragement, and you need that perspective from God, the love of God, he comes to you and he has compassion. This is an amazing thought, isn't it? That God actually has that sort of compassion when he looks at you. He is moved. He has a gut feeling and says, I love you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to protect you. If you have a need, I'm going to meet it. I'm going to help you. I'm going to watch over you. This is what motivates God. It's love from the core of his being. He is compassionate. And it's really what moves him to do the things that he does. And it's only with great reservation and great regret that he brings judgment. And he doesn't desire that. His first course is to love. And that's what he's sharing with us. And that compassion, we have to feel compassion. You have to feel it. You have to feel love. You just got to look at situations and you have to be motivated like that. It's important. That's the way this man was, and that's what moved him. You know, and love, the second point is it does something. It does something. And what it does is out of compassion, what the Samaritan did, the very first thing he did was he went over to the person. He went to him. You got to say the words. You got to do the action. You know, we actually have to be part of it. It's dirty, isn't it? Isn't it really hard if somebody who doesn't like you and you have to return love? That is not easy stuff. This is a really, really difficult thing to do. And Jesus knows that. He had many things like that. Turn the other cheek. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. He knows that this is hard for us. He just doesn't send you out there and say, well, I hope you do good. He's one to say, hey, it is tough. I can tell you how tough it is because they crucified me. But I can tell you true that love works, and that's why all of us are saved. That's why we know Jesus Christ, because love works. And it feels something, and it does something. And the issue is not that we get it right. That, you know, you can beat yourself up over that and try to work and try to do the best you can, but that's not the answer that Jesus gives back to this guy. He actually challenges him, because keep in mind, there was probably enough silence here at the end when he says, who was a neighbor to this person? Because they hated Samaritans. They absolutely hated them. And notice the guy's response. He couldn't bring himself to say the word Samaritan, could he? And I'll bet you he's choking on the words. He's like, the guy who helped. You know, he couldn't say it. Couldn't say it, but here is Jesus Christ right there, and I'll bet you could have heard a pin drop at that moment in the conversation. And Jesus Christ is looking at him, and he's saying, what do you think of me? Here I am being merciful and compassionate to you. And I wonder, I think in my mind, you know, because these are divine appointments. Everything is a divine appointment. And God really moves through us and works through us, you know. And you know, you wonder if later on this lawyer, you know, when Jesus Christ was crucified, made sense to him. He saw it and he realized, like, wow, what a beautiful message, what a beautiful revelation. Now, it's just wonderful. And he would have got the point from the story that we're not meant to be alone. We're not meant to be without Jesus Christ. You were never, ever meant to live without the Savior. Yeah, we're that person by the road. And Jesus comes to us. He doesn't go on the other side. He comes to us. And you were never meant to live not only without Jesus, but you were never meant to live alone. You were meant to live in fellowship with others. You were meant to have others next to you, encouraging you, helping you. That's the picture that God gives us in this story. He gives us the picture that we were never meant to live without Jesus Christ. He comes to us in whatever need it was. And each of us were not meant to live without each other. And tell me that isn't hard. That's a blessing, but that is also one of the hardest things you will ever do, to live in love with one another. And that is God's grace, because with one another we see our failures, we see our strengths, we see our weaknesses, we see all that we are and all that we are before Jesus Christ. And it causes us to turn one to another and just say, thank you, Lord, for this grace. And keep refueling me, keep helping me share, because love does change things. It does make a difference. In Jesus it does. May that strengthen you, and may that bless you and encourage you in your faith. In Jesus' name, amen.